Hello, and welcome to episode 51 of Celiac.com Podcast Edition. In this episode, we talk about body mass index, psoriasis, the dominoes controversy, celiac light, campus dining, cheating, and roasted pecan cauliflower bites. Celiac.com Podcast Edition is your regular update on news and important topics from our website. Please leave a comment on our blog or write to the Podcast Edition directly. Our email address is podcast@celiac.com. Celiac.com Podcast Edition is sponsored by the Gluten-Free Mall. Since 1998, the Gluten-Free Mall has provided safe and convenient online shopping for people on restricted diets due to celiac disease, autism, ADHD, or other health reasons. The Gluten-Free Mall has the best prices and selection of gluten-free, wheat-free, casein-free, and other allergy-related health foods and special dietary products that you can find on the internet. Here's a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you shop at the Gluten-Free Mall between now and December 31st, 2012, use the term PODCAST11, that's podcast in all small letters, followed by the number 11, and get a 10% discount. Here's how you do it. When you're ready to check out from the Gluten-Free Mall, you'll see a coupon code box next to your total. To get your 10% off, make sure you write the term PODCAST11 using all small letters and the numerals 1-1. This does not count for shipping or taxes, limit one per customer, and offer not valid with other specials or promotions. Now, the news. Body Mass Index. A team of researchers recently set out to examine body mass and obesity risk in people with celiac disease who are following a gluten-free diet. When the researchers compared their data collection results against data collected from the general population, they found that celiac patients were less likely to be overweight or obese. They also found that a patient's average body mass increased after adopting the gluten-free diet. About 20% of patients starting out with normal or high BMI increased their BMI by more than 2 points. The results of this study show that celiac patients on a gluten-free diet start out with a lower BMI than the general population at diagnosis, but that BMI will increase with the gluten-free diet. Psoriasis. Recent scientific results discovered evidence indicating that the connection between celiac disease and psoriasis is more than coincidental, including an association between celiac disease and psoriasis before celiac diagnosis. The team of scientists for this study conclude that individuals with celiac disease face an increased risk of psoriasis both before and after diagnosis. Domino's controversy. In April 2012, the National Foundation for Celiac Awareness, also known as NFCA, debuted its tiered credentialing system, whereby restaurants can be awarded varying levels of a gluten-free designation. The system is controversial. Many celiacs argue that there should be no flexibility with the term gluten-free. Either a food contains gluten or it does not. Certifying gluten-contaminated products as gluten-free can be harmful to celiacs. The concept of the NFCA certifying varying degrees of gluten-free restaurants was brought to the forefront of the media when they awarded Domino's gluten-free pizza with an amber gluten-free designation. The amber designation means that while Domino's uses gluten-free ingredients to make the crust, its kitchen is not void of gluten, so the contamination risk is still high. The term green would be awarded to an actual gluten-free restaurant. A number of celiac disease experts have come forth to denounce Domino's crust and the NFCA's endorsement of it. The North American Society for the Study of Celiac Disease has accused Domino's of exploitation, given the gluten-free diet's recent surge in popularity. The NFCA has recently announced that in response to the overwhelming pressure, it is suspending use of the amber credential. According to their press release, they will conduct a review to determine the most effective and clearest way to warn the community of the risk of cross-contamination and use of the phrase gluten-free. And now for some popular topics from celiac.com. Celiac light. Should gluten sensitivity be thought of as celiac light? Some doctors and researchers think so. There's been a lot of discussion regarding gluten sensitivity as a possible cause of irritable bowel syndrome, referred to as IBS, in patients who do not test positive for celiac disease. Gluten sensitivity, like IBS, is a condition which could manifest for several reasons. Some argue that gluten sensitivity might be thought of as celiac light, representing a milder domain within the wide range of celiac disease symptoms. However, there are some data to suggest that a subset of patients with gluten sensitivity may actually belong to the spectrum of celiac disease. People with gluten sensitivity typically show symptoms after eating gluten, but show no evidence of celiac disease or food allergy with an official test. Unlike celiac disease, there are no accepted biomarkers for gluten sensitivity. Doctors diagnose the condition mainly by looking at the connection between eating gluten and the resulting adverse symptoms. A recent meta-analysis showed that patients with IBS had significantly higher rates of celiac disease than the regular population. The American College of Gastroenterology Task Force now recommends routine celiac blood screens for patients with diarrhea-predominant IBS and IBS with a mixed bowel pattern. However, data from U.S. studies show no higher risk for celiac disease among patients with IBS symptoms and no warning signs. Although these results are intriguing, they require validation in larger, randomized controlled trials in other parts of the world. Providers should remember that they'll most likely encounter gluten sensitivity in their day-to-day practice rather than celiac disease. Campus dining. That old cafeteria-style campus dining hall is becoming a thing of the past. Today's students are bringing their sophisticated palates and health-related concerns to school, and schools are stepping up to accommodate them. Driven by new consumer demands and some creative management, more campus dining halls are being reformatted to resemble restaurants, featuring selections that reflect world cuisine and moving to accommodate dietary restrictions by offering vegetarian, kosher, halal, gluten-free, or lactose-free choices on their menu. In 2011, Wheaton College was ranked number one by the Princeton Review for the best campus food in America. Raul Delgado, general manager of Wheaton College Dining Services, says, "When you look at this place, the farthest thing from your mind is the cafeteria. This is a restaurant, and like any restaurant, it's open to the general public." Do you have experience with evolving campus dining trends, especially as they relate to gluten-free options? If so, please send us an email at the podcast edition or comment on our website. Cheating. This story comes to us from the Spring 2012 Journal of Gluten Sensitivity. Be sure to take a look at our online sample or sign up for your own copy at journalofglutensensitivity.org. Some individuals cannot feel the effects of cheating, and so they continue to eat gluten occasionally. It's human nature to avoid things that make us feel bad, but it's more difficult if there are no immediate, obvious effects. A gluten-intolerant individual has a reaction to gluten, and it's shortening their lifespan and moving them closer to disease each and every time they cheat on their gluten-free diet. A patient may not feel the disease progressing, but specific tests can reveal consequences they may be bringing upon themselves as a result of their lax diet. Some people cheat expecting something dramatic to occur within a few hours. When it doesn't, they think it's okay to cheat occasionally. Some people, even doctors, miss the signs, a headache or a rash that appears 2 days after a gluten cheat is a good example of a reaction to that dietary indiscretion. Sometimes individuals with known gluten intolerance succumb to peer pressure and cheat on their gluten-free diet. It's not just children. Younger patients tend to be quite disciplined. Adults, however, do at times suffer from not wanting to be different or not wanting to be rude and try to resolve the dilemma by cheating. The best thing to do with any person urging you to go ahead and eat the gluten is to say that gluten is like a rat poison to you. This works well for those people who say, "Come on, a little won't kill you." Ask how they would feel if you told them to eat just a little rat poison. Would they eat it? After all, it's just a little bit. Feel free to utilize whatever talking points work best for you, but please don't let peer pressure damage your good health. Pecan cauliflower bites. This lovely dish makes an outstanding appetizer or side dish for your favorite meal or a nice hors d'oeuvre at a party. Find the full recipe on our website. First, preheat the oven to 375 degrees Fahrenheit. Line a baking pan with tin foil. Cut one large head of cauliflower into florets or steak-like slices. Place it into the baking pan in a small bowl. Whisk together some olive oil, ground pecans, sea salt, and fresh ground white pepper. Drizzle it over the cauliflower. Roast your cauliflower for about 25 minutes or until golden brown. Then place it into the fridge overnight in a glass bowl, covered. And enjoy at room temperature with a drizzle of balsamic vinegar. And that's all for this episode of the podcast edition from everyone here at celiac.com. Thank you for listening.